you, Lord.
Thank you, musicians. We are, like they said, we are thin out tonight, but it doesn't matter because it only takes one and God is majority, right? If he's here, I'm here. That's all we need. The rest of you will be spares in case we need, you know, if I fall, you can come and pick me up and you can take my place. But thank God that for his promises, thank God because he knows every situation, every circumstance, and his will be done regardless. Sometimes Satan tried to sidetrack us to kind of, you know, get us our path. But God is faithful, and God is good. God is greater, better than Satan. Amen. So we continue praying. Let us pray. I'm going to join my voice with those that are already praying for the healing and the health and those that are sick and afflicted. Father, we, as my brother said, Father, we cannot, if you were here tonight in a body, in prison, and you cannot heal us because you already did 2,000 years ago. Father, you said by my stripe you were, not that we was or we are going to be, but we already healed. So we're looking at your promise tonight. It doesn't matter what the situation, no matter what we're feeling, the sickness, I will, my faith, we said, I'm healed. I'm well. I don't care. People ask me sometimes, how you feeling? I said, I'm feeling great. Yeah, but you lying. Look at you. I said, well, I don't walk by my symptoms. I don't look at my symptoms. I looked at the word of God. And I believe the word. And today we stand here believing that we were healed by his stripes. Father, and then we just wait. We stand on that word and we wait for the results. We know what the results are going to be, Father. So, but we pray so you be with each one that is not here tonight. That you touch them, Father, that you raise them, that you quicken them, so we can be back together again, Father, worshiping you and praising you, Father. Because when one is not in his place, Father, the dynamic will change. But, Father, we're still here to worship you. We are here to praise you. We are here to hear your word. We want you to speak to us tonight, Father. Father, we want you to just we love your presence. We love your word. And that's what we are here for, Father. We want to hear from you, Father, tonight. And we know that you are not going to disappoint us, Father. Because you said where two or three are together, you will be there. And you here tonight, Father. And thank you, Father. I will move myself to the side. You can take over, Father. And use this vessel for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. 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 You can be seated. So I decided tonight that I'm going to do a part three. His vocabulary, part three. This is the conclusion. I ain't got no more part, but this is the last part. This is the conclusion. There's some loose end that I wanted to bring together. And tonight, what our purpose is to test. I'm going to test with the scriptures. We're going to go back to the scriptures that we read 3 weeks ago, whatever, 2 Wednesdays ago. And we are going to see if we understood. Did we learn by looking at the flowers and the principles, you know, that rule, a good design, a good arrangement to see. Now we can go to the word and see if we can see something a little better than we saw before. Because Brother Van says, if you sincerely can look at a flower, he says, and you can believe, you know, and you have faith, he says, you will know more, you know, than you knew before you started. Know about God a little more. Why? Because God is in his creation. Amen. You know, you said, well, how that works, I don't know how that works. I know one thing, that all these people, these big scientists that of the past, you know, Isaac Newton, Einstein, all these people, they had a gift. See, God is the giver of gift, and he don't take him. If you are Christian, that don't have nothing to do. They had a gift. They just observe. They observe creation. They observe, the solar system. And they observe things. And for some reason, they had a gift that they could see God. I mean, they don't call him God. But how do they come out with the theories of relativity? Because God's already put him there. They just had that gift to observe. Sincerely, they were observing and they learned. See? Now, we know that God is the one that show things and open eyes and give the gift. They might not recognize that, but we know who is the one doing it all. Isaac Newton, whatever, he saw an apple falling down, and, just an apple. And the guy is watching this thing and said, oh, that's awesome. Why that apple don't go up when he goes down? I mean, observing creation, that's all. But they had that gift, and then they start asking questions. They start seeking. They start, doing things. Finally, he said, there must be a force, that pulls the apple. We're in the south. We're upside down. Why we're not falling down to? Why? Well, they took their time just to see and observe what? Creation. And if we do the same thing, but I said we can learn more than going to a seminary or cemetery, that reading all the textbooks that you can read. That is the thing with denomination. That's the thing with people. That the Bible said they are reading and never coming to the understanding of the truth. Why? Because they don't have the gift to observe things, observe God in motion. Because all that you see at that, that's God. God is in his creation. Brother Branham being also a prophet, a great, but he had a gift. He was a type, and he looked at nature. And that's how he learned what we know today, that all that we know in this message, it's just him looking at creation and letting faith and believe and let God do the rest. So what we are talking that I'm just going to test to see if we learn anything today. Let's go back to the verses that we read at the beginning and see if we can glean something else out of there that wasn't there before. Okay? So, but before we do that, I want to reach you, speak to this rock over here, this quote. Let's go to that quote. It's after the, and then we can go back up again to the, thank you. Oop. It says, I used to look at flowers. I just love flowers. How many of you guys love flowers? I don't believe there's anyone who could look right at a rose or flower and say, if he's mentally balanced or cold, right, if he's so, his mind is there, that there is no God. The creation declare that there is a God, period. It says, that is a God. For all the science in the world could not make one little thing like that, all our scientists research. They can make something look like it, but they cannot make that. Right. See? No more than they could make that, they can make one look like out of paper, crochet, But he's a different. But it has not got life in it. That's God's life in it. That is the secret. The life. God life. God is life. So see, when we look at creation, everything in creation, God sustains, maintains, he keeps creation. And that creation is alive because God himself is alive. God will not create something dead. So every time you look at a creation, the birds singing in the morning, the wind rushing through the brush, whatever, that's all God. In fact, Jesus told Nicodemus, I think it was, if not, then I had to search it out later. But he says, nobody knows where the spirit goes. See? But he says, But, you know, when the wind passes and brush, you know, through the trees and they move, you know, you cannot see the wind either. But you know the wind is there. Why? Because the trees are moving. And you know that God is in the church because the church is moving. The people are moving. You know God is in everything because you can see God in all these things. The intelligence that God has put on them. You know, now they're coming with AI. Wow. What a disappointment, you know. God is beyond AI. You know, all the intelligence that is in, like Brother Brian is saying, all the intelligence that is in creation. It just takes a person just to stop. And when you have time in your daily work and daily busy day, stop. Look. Observe. And you will see God. In everything you do, in everything you see, in everything you touch. Amen? So, now, let's go and test this thing. Let's go to Ephesians 3:6 that we started reading, Ephesians. It says, I said, that the Gentile should be what? Fellow heirs. So, it's talking about a relationship and a connection. Yeah. See, there's a connection with in the body. She says, same body. So something connects them all together. Amen. See? Because they're going to be fellow heirs. They're going to be fellowshipping together. It's a body. So it's a body like the father and the son. You know, it's the same thing as a husband and a wife. They are two, but they're supposed to be one. See, and this body is flesh of his flesh, it's bone of his bone, and they are one, even though there's two people, but there's one. You know, sometimes, like I said, you look at creation. God started this from the beginning. He says, God was telling Israel back in the Old Testament, you know, as a hen, as a chicken, you know, I tried to gather you together. You know, the little chicks, you know, under my wings. See, just tapping up, you know. When you look at even a chicken and how he treats his thing, that's God. We need to understand that what moves the entire world is God. Right. It's the mind of God. This, in fact, if God stops thinking, if everything disappears, you are a thought of God. So what happens if he decides to think any longer? Poof, here we go. But you are here because he thought of you. And he's still thinking about you. Because the day he stopped thinking, that's the end of things. He's the one in his mind, sustain, maintain all things. They like to accept it or not, it is God. See? So the reason you're sitting there, because you are thought of God. And I'm glad you're in the right place. Because that's what the thought of God wants to be. Where would you think the thought of God wants to be? Together, as a body. Amen. So, it says, partaker of his promises, of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Talking about the Jews and also the Gentiles. You know, so there's a relationship, and that relationship is we have one Father. We all got, I don't care what color you are, I don't care what, you know, what, where you came from, you know, we still have one Father. We are the genes of our Father. We are attributes of our Father. So we were one in his mind. He started it. God is one. So he wants man to be one. He made it to be one. So, and partakers of the promises, as it was for the Jews, we also partake of those promises in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Now, and make all men see what is the fellowship. Now, fellowship is something that we come together and we have harmony. Because that's why we come together, so we can have harmony. And that's the first principle of creating and designing a good arrangement of love, is harmony. And you say, but who made up these things? It was just a man or a lady that made up all these principles. Well, Who made up the principles that ruled the entire planet and rules all that? Well, men. Because God gave men those so they can put all these theories in place and relativity and all these things. But that was God that created it. They did not, they only discover what is in God's mind. And they describe it in terms of human being. This is what this is and this is what this does. But God decided, God spoke all that into place. So they did not invent any, they just discovered it. Brother Brown said television was back in the times of Enoch and then way back there. It was already in all the parts and everything that we use today, you know, Silicon Valley, all that stuff was there then. It just they found it, they discovered, but it was in the mind of God, all that creation. So harmony. See, when we come together for fellowship, you know, it's not so much about the good looking, you know, fried chicken that we like to eat. You know, we can have fellowship around chicken, though. And that's fine. I like chicken. You know, we can have fellowship around, you know, the sisters cook some good food, some good grub. I mean, see. But that's not fellowship. That's eating anyway. And I like to eat. And we all need to eat, right? But what I'm saying is, fellowship is more than just getting together. We are having fellowship, right, here, around the world, around God. And that's why you came. But in having fellowship, we also coming together to harmonize together, you know. Because harmonize means that we become as one. God is one, we come as one. Same mind, same mentality. See? We come in to praise Him, to worship Him. And we want to come in one man and in one accord to do these things. Because there is where the power is. I know brother preached about when they built the Tower of Babel. They were not Christians, but they know where the power was at, in unity. You know? And one can chase 1,000, and two can chase 10,000. So there must be something in unity when we come together. See? So harmony is also brings unity, because we are not going to fellowship and harmony and be in this array, you know. I'm sitting, me and my family in this table and your family in that table. No, it has to be some kind of harmony. When we come to church, we need to have that harmony. We come together to participate. We come together to as one body, so we want a fellowship around the world. But it has to be harmony. And harmony is just the blending together. You know? Forget about who you are, where you came from. Guess if you're short and tall or whatever, it has nothing to do with anything. We are here together with one purpose and one purpose in mind. It's just that we can come together and worship the living God. And when we get in one accord, in one unity, and we can be in harmony, anything can happen. Anything can happen. So Satan is trying to kind of distract you. So some of you guys already went to Walmart and came back. Some of you already thinking about, you know, I'm hungry, I need to eat when I get home. What should I eat when I get home? Huh? So all I'm saying, you know, when we come to church, we should give it 100%. We should put our whole heart into the service. And I tell you, you're going to see amazing things. Once God is just waiting on us. That's all. You know, to come together in one man and in one accord, in harmony. So, what is the fellowship, you know, of the mystery? Now, we know what the mystery is. He's already explained the mystery. The mystery is that before the foundation of the world, you know, you was in Him, you know. And now, it's time to, that mystery that was hidden, now it's not hidden anymore. It's having disclosed. We know. We were in the back of His mind. See? But He wanted fellowship. He wanted family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was alone. Right. And He wanted to have harmony. He wanted to have unity. So if God desired those things, what about you and me? That we're supposed to have the mind of God, of Jesus Christ. When we come to church, that's what we desire, to come together, you know, to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord. He says, and make men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid. See, in his mind, you and me and everybody, the Jews before they became Jews, that we're all in his mind, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He creates all things and he sustains all things. You know, I don't care what man decides to do. They can go and cook all kind of things and they want to do this and that and the other, but God is still in control. And God has the last word anyway. People worry who's going to be the next president. Well, oh, it's going to be a woman. I don't care if it's a woman. Oh, hooray. You know, we are closer to what our brother prophet saw, right? If she gets there and she gets elected, sorry, I'm not a politician or anything like that. We are so close. Because Rabbi said, as soon as they elect the woman president, it's over. That's how close we are, if it happens. But even if it happens, God is in control. God is in control. And God allows, he takes government and he puts government so he can bring his will to pass. See? He's going to perform his word and he's going to put whoever he needs there to perform his will. They don't know that and they might deny it, but you and I know better. Now, that don't mean that I'm not saying you don't need to vote because God is going to put whoever, you know. I'm not supporting those things, but I'm saying the will of God will be done regardless. And that's what we are praying for. So, it says, created in all things by Jesus Christ. 3:10 says, to the intent, see, or to the purpose. Remember we said harmony, and then we talked about purpose. Purpose is the next principle, how to create a good design. That now unto the principalities and powers of heavenly places may know. We're putting them on notice. See? You out, we in. Period. He says, by the church, the manifold wisdom, see, of God. And the church, that's where we get the word contrast, because the church has different, you know, like flowers. Right. When you make a bouquet, it's different kind of flowers. You know, there's roses, and there's this, and there's that, gardenias, and on, and lilies. So the church of the living God, he made it up. He designed it to be, you know, as a flower bouquet. You know, I'm a flower that came from Puerto Rico, and you might be a flower that came from Spain, and you might be a flower that came from the U.S., and you're a flower... It doesn't matter. But God brought us together for a reason. See? God brought us together so his will be done. And that's what we're going to learn in a little bit, what we need to be doing. And it says, intend to his purpose at the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So, and we are, you know, a variety. You know, God likes variety. So that is why we are... Here, sometimes, you know, I laugh because he makes me, and I mean, he's a funny guy, you know. Maybe a guy like me, you know. I'm a funny looking guy, anyway. But God created everything for a reason. You here for a reason. You're not here just to suck up air. You know, or eat to live. You should, you know, some people eat to live or live to eat, whatever you want to do it, but. God has a purpose for us. God has given us a measurement, you know, of God. Some more, some less. But God has given you not all of it. Everything was in Jesus Christ. What was in God was empty completely in Jesus. Jesus was the full measurement of God. But God has, then Jesus, you know, emptying himself in the church, in each one of us. So there's a little bit of God in you. There's a little God in you. There's an attribute of God in you. There's an attribute of God in you. So when we come together, we can at least get God put together. Because that is his way. We cannot do it ourselves. Listen, if I can lay hands on me and pray for myself, I'll be fine. But I need you to lay hands. It takes one to lay hands. Yeah, I would just go like this and I just stay home. I mean, I can do all. I don't have all the gifts and I don't have all the measurements. You know, and that's why we're here, because we need each other. God made it that way. See, that was his purpose. And 11 says, according to the eternal purpose, which purpose in Christ Jesus. And that is the next principle. Christ Jesus, the way, the life, and the truth. So he's a way. Remember we talked about balance? The balance is to move in the way, in the middle. So that is the balance. Jesus Christ. None other but Jesus. We look unto Jesus, and that's it. Nothing else. Because he is our way. And he is the one that keeps us in our way. In the only way is the middle of the road. So, not left, not right, right in the middle of the road. And he's the truth. And he's the one that keeps us in balance. It has the Holy Spirit in us that keeps us for going left or going too far right. See? We get too fanatic. You know, some of us, you know, we got more emotional than others. God made us that way. But everything has to be kept in order. See? That don't mean that we're not going to run around or scream, but we do that. But everything has to be done in what? You know, if the Holy Spirit do it, more power to God. Amen. But we don't do it because we want to pretend or, you know, manufacture. We want to do it when the Spirit of the Lord want to have his way. Hey, listen, I've been with you guys long enough. I saw brothers, you know, upside down, and the only thing I saw was the sole of their feet. Only they way back. I mean, I've seen God slaying people, you know, and we had a lot of fun. So I'm not against if we are too emotional, not emotional, or formal. Sometimes we just have to have a balance. There are sometimes that we have to be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit fall and it rains and it pours and we all lift our legs and we all our hands and we do. But as long as God is in control, that's what we want. We want to maintain our balance and just wait for the Lord. Amen. 7, but in the day of the voice of the revelation, I'm sorry, 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seven angels, and we know who that is, When he shall begin, the mystery of God should be finished. So the mystery of God just about being finished. We're looking for the last one to go. We don't know what the last one is. But he says when the message comes, that is the dress of the bride, and he starts sounding, not when he ends the sounding, not when he's in the middle, when he started, when this message started way back years ago, the mystery of God, the bride, you know, will be claimed. Because that is what he's doing, not claiming what he paid for. That is going to be over. Amen. And when the last comes in, we are out of here. Period. So, what Ivana said in Super Sign, that's the way we can do, harmonize in our own different opinions. There's nothing wrong. You know, I like some things that you don't like, like I was saying, and we're all different. My preferred color is brown. My wife is, I think it's green or blue. You know, we got different, you know, things. We prefer different things. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with anything. But what I said, it says over here, in our different opinion, we still harmonize because the taste has nothing to do with it. I don't think he means the taste of something, but that could be. But, you know, sometimes we have a taste for this kind of a clothes and this kind of a color and a taste for that kind of a car. You know, it doesn't matter what your taste is. Man, people say, well, I don't like to go to that church. My taste is that church. Whatever, you know, it should make no difference. And we're going to see later on, you know, it should make no difference to us where people go at. He says, because the opinions don't matter. Oh, I know what you're saying, but they believe that, and the Bible says stay away from those. Well, we're going to look at that in a minute. It says, the taste has nothing to do with it. Okay? We are God's people. That's all. That's all it matters. So, all marching together with one great purpose. And Brother Brown says, harmony, purpose, to what? To win soul for Christ. That was God's purpose from the very beginning. And that was Jesus' purpose when he came. And that is the purpose that you and I need to finish. You know, we're supposed to finish the work that he started. The purpose is to win souls for Christ. We're going to get how we're going to do that too. Because I'm going to tell you the meaning of these things. I'm not only going to tell you what it is. I will tell you the meaning of how this is going to happen. May ever be that way. May this great bouquet of God's gathering together tonight here be an everlasting bouquet until he comes to take us what? Home. Now he says, this is my sincere desire, is that. Amen. That we stay together like a bouquet of flowers until he comes back. Amen. Now, we talked about in Revelation 10:7, continuing reading, it says, when the voice of the seven angels, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. See? So that means that God, Jesus died for the joy that was put in front of him. See? So that joy is going to be fulfilled. And we are close to that. He will have a bride. Regardless, in spite of you and me, he will have a bride because he died for that joy. And he says, that bride is the apple of his eyes. We read that last week. See? And he loved that bride. And we talked about love. You see? The bride of Jesus Christ is a love affair. We talked about that was the last part. The last principle was love. Everything that we do, we're going to see a little further as I go, that if you don't do it because you love someone else, I don't care if it's your enemy, get into that. If it's that love that motivates what we do, even to come to church, if that's the motivation, then we need to check what is our motivation and interest. Because we had to have one. Brahma says, check your motivation and your interest. So, love. And then he says, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. See? Remember that the prophets and the law, they are fulfilling one thing. And what was that word? Love. You can't fulfill the law. In fact, if you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them. And brother, Doug went through that. I'm not going to even go through that, but love fulfills the law. So, Matthew, let's go to Matthew 5:38. I'm going to read a few, verses. So just follow me. I told you last week that if you said that you love God and you love your brother, you're lying, right? Because if God is in you, you will love your brother. Why? Because God will love your brother, just like God loved you. So, love is the medium where the bride moves. Everything that the bride will do, it will be caused by love. God saw me, found me, saved me. Why? Because the Bible said that he loved me. Okay? And love is what drives the whole picture. See? And we read from John 4:12 all the way to 21, I read through all that about 21 times he mentioned love. Yeah? That if God is in you, you will love. Love one another. And he went on and on and on. He came out of the eye of Patmos after he was at there almost. They wanted to boil him in what they did. And they couldn't even boil him in all. And after he went through all that and he went through all this vision, the only thing he came back and said was, children, love one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I will give unto you. That was the 11 because there's 10 commandments. So that was the 11. Why it was 11? Because that was for the 11 children. 11 our children. 11 will cover all the other 10. If you do this one, this is all we have to do. The 11 commandment. Love what? If you love my word, you love my commandment, then, you know, you will love me. You will do. So love will fulfill all the other 10. So we don't need 10. We just need one. It's called love. Now, so Matthew said, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for eye and a tooth for tooth. Now, the reason I'm bringing this is because loving our brother, loving the church, and loving those that love you, that's not quoted. It is required that you love one another, but it's required, it's not sufficient. There's more than that. And that's what I didn't want to leave it there. You know? Let's read. You have heard that it has been said eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I said unto you that you resist, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever you shall smite thee in thy right cheek, turn to him to the other also. So if somebody abuse you, somebody call your name, if somebody rub you the wrong way, what are you supposed to do? Turn your cheek. If any man will sue thee at the law and take everything away from away that coat, let him have the cloak also. See? I know this is difficult. But they're going to take my house and they're going to take my car and I lost my job and what else can they take? I mean, what is happening? But I don't know. The Bible said, what he's saying is, if they come after you and everything you have, in fact, help them pack it in the truck. Oh no, brother, this is not the law of the land. Well, I know that's not the law of the land. You go to court, you get the sheriff or you get the policeman and they take care of the situation, right? But that's not how God is looking at things. We have to look. He says, if a man will sue you, how many times this will happen to you? I mean, I've been living here for 75 years and it never happened to me one year. I had lost houses for repossession when I was young, but that was not their fault. That was my fault because I broke the contract. But see, as far as I know, nobody had walked in my house and kicked me out and took everything I had. Yeah, so I cannot identify with that. And I bet you most of you cannot identify with that. But there are some people that have in other countries. Okay. And they take away the coat, let him have that cloak also. And whosoever shall come, compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Okay? We're not going to elaborate in that one, but the principle there is, if somebody has, in those days, in the Roman soldier, when they used to come to town, it was, I don't know if it was a law or something that said that if they ask you for help, their gear, whatever, their rucksack, whatever they were carrying, to help them, at least a mile. He said, go 2 miles. So, give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Yeah, but they already took advantage of me. But then be smart the next time. I don't, you know, I love so much, but according to this is, if somebody asks you, you need to share. That's all it is to it. Okay? You guys are quiet. But this is don't apply. Yes, this applies to us. Because if you love somebody, we're going to get to it. You will do that. I don't care if he's your enemy. He's against you. He want to take you to court. He want to strip you out of everything. I'm going to show you. You need to love that person. He said, "Thou," he says, "give to him that asks thee." So, what happens when we go down the street and those homeless are asking thee? You just close your window and say, "But he's going to drink it up." What is it to you? To you is to share all the things that God has given to you more than that guy that is in the street. What he used it for, that's not your business. That is God's business. Just how people sometimes they say, "Well, I will not give my tithing because I don't know what that pastor is using it." What is it that to thee? God requires you to give your tithing. Whatever the pastor, he's responsible, him and God, they will be responsible for that. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Matthew 5:43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. That was what the law used to say. To do for tooth, you know. But this is what God is saying now. He came and amplified this thing, the law. But I said unto you, love your what? Your enemy. Bless them that what? Curse you. So it's not good enough to do it in church. They love you and they like you. And it's easy. But that's not sufficient. Now you have to love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. You know what we had? And persecute you. You know what the problem that we have in church where people leave? Sometimes I don't blame them that much. They're going to do that. But what are you supposed to be doing according to this? You're supposed to love them, right? Not complain. I'm glad he's going to leave, man. I can't stand that guy. That's the attitude is, you know, that if it's harmony in the body, these things got to happen. Because we don't, to love one another, the pagans do the same thing. So it has to be a little bit more than just the church. He says, despitefully use you and persecute you, you, that ye may be children of our Father which is in heaven. How many ones, I will ask this, how many are children of our Father that is in heaven? We all. For he makes the sun to rise in on the evil and on the good, and send the rain for the just and the unjust. 5:46, Matthew. For if you love them which love you, what do reward have ye? Do not even publicans do the same? 47, and if you salute your, or shake hands with only the one that you like, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? 48, be ye therefore what? Oh, it's the word perfect. This journey is supposed to take us to what? To maturity, to where? To perfection. So as we get more perfect, we will do all these things. If not, you are not perfect. As God is perfect. See, this journey is so we can get to maturity. Remember what Ephesians says? And the ministry is here to perfect you, to bring you to maturity. So when you start coming to maturity, these things has to be there. So, he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. In a couple of words, we can define this. You have to return good for evil. Then you can be considered material to be a children of God. Because that's what he did for you. I don't know you, but he did for me. When I was out in the world. I was cursing and doing all kind of things. See, he still loved me. See, love. What? So, return good for evil. Because that is the golden rule. Anyway, I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, whatever you like people to do to you, do ye even so to them. But this is the law and the prophets. So, do you like friends? How many people like friends? Yeah, have friends. But what did the Bible say? Show yourself what? Friendly. Basically, you know, whatever you like to men do to you, you do it to them. It don't say do it to them after they've done it to you. Do it first. That is the golden rule. How many like, you know, to be liked? I like to be appreciated. I like to be liked. But why don't you appreciate somebody else and like somebody else too? Not the one that already liked you. The one that don't like you. And I'm going to tell you there's a reason for this. Because this is perfection, see? And that's why we're striving. Listen, we are not here, and we're not here. We are closer to here, and perfection should be our goal here. All the, you know that all this journey was for that purpose? So we can be perfect as he's perfect? So we can have his character? His nature? So what do you think you're going to be doing here? This whole journey is to prepare us, to mold us, to form us, to shape us, to look like him. That's all. Now you can see where you are when it comes to all these things. Now it says, but this is the law and the prophet. Now Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How do your enemy is going to glorify God if he don't see the good works in you or in me? If you don't like your enemy, you hate your enemy. Well, you might say, I don't hate him, but I don't like him neither. How that is going to glorify God? God needs to express himself like he expressed himself before in Jesus Christ. He needs to express himself in you and finish the work. How is he going to do that? By manifesting what God is in your body so he can be glorified. And he says over here, the Father which is in heaven is glorified. So, the whole reason for doing this, loving your enemy, you know, is that people can see God in you and they will glorify God. That's the entire walk from earth to heaven is for you to express God to someone that is lost, your enemy, and they can say, wow, you know, God might have mercy in that person and he will, you know, be saved. The entire purpose of you and I is to, in fact, the only place that you're going to see God, Brother Van said, is in you. That world is in chaos, and they're looking for something. And who is supposed to be doing the works so they can see God in you and glorify God? That is the whole walk. Not to come to church every Sunday, that's good. But we need to go out there and love not only our brothers and sisters, but we have to love all. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, in my speech and in my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now, you are not preachers, but you better demonstrate, you know, also Spirit and power in your walk with God. Because you and I will not attract, I mean, look at who, what we are. In fact, we are the foolishness. The Bible says we're the foolishness of the world. You cannot do it. You will not attract anybody to Christ. Only Christ can attract him to himself, God. And they have to see God in some place. in you. So we need to walk, manifesting every day. So that means if somebody curses you, well, I'm getting away from this guy. No. You can have a few words with him. He says, you know, if you're going to talk that way, you know, I don't mind to talk to you and think I like you, but I just cannot deal with this, you know. You don't know. You need to talk. You don't need to run away from me. Because what we want to do is show God to all men. He says, because I always said, you know, that I like to see a sermon being lived and being preached. And that's what the world is looking for. How are they going to see Jesus Christ in you if we are not doing the works that God has already predetermined from the foundation of the world? And the work is simple. It's doing his will every day. Now, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See? Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. This is not you. You don't have to manufacture. You don't have to try to make anything. God already foreordained this work in you. All we have to do is what? Let go. When you find yourself in any situation, you don't have to figure it out. In fact, he told the disciples, you know, when you get thrown in jail, when you take you to the magistrate, when they do this to you, don't even figure out what you're going to say and what you're going to do. No, I do that a lot. You know, I start imagining, you know, if this happened, this is what I do. If this happened, this is what I must. He said, don't even try it. Because when you get there, I will give you what? Words to say. This is what we're talking about, you know, in Ephesians 2:10. God already foreordained this work. You think that God don't know that the guy you're talking to is an enemy, but still, he's a human being? So God will give you word. God will tell you what to say. If we just stop a minute and let go of our mind and let God, you don't know what's going to happen. Because it won't be you talking to the person. It's going to be the manifestation, the expression of God in you. And they will know. They will know. Hebrews 10:20, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering. So we profess and we have our faith. Let's not waver. Either this thing work or either this thing don't work. So what do you think? You're going to go out there, you come to a good preaching, and then you go and go out there, and you're going to waver? Well, I don't know, this guy is mean. Oh, okay. So you don't think God can do something? That's why God sometimes don't use you, because we unstable, we waver. And he said, that our faith, we have a profession, hold fast to that what you believe. And if I told you that God said he will give you words, he will help you, it's not you talking, it will be him, then don't waver. Because you don't know what God is doing anyway. Now, Hebrews 10:24, he said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good work. See? So if you're going to provoke somebody, provoke him to love you some more. You know? Or provoke him to continue doing good work. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. To provoke unto love, to provoke to love the church, to love God, you know, to provoke in good work. So I'm provoking you. I'm not telling you that you're wrong because you don't come to church. I'm just trying to provoke you. Because I love you. See, say? Now, they read that one and they stop there. But look at what 26 said. For if we willfully now, knowing what's right and what's wrong, and we willfully. See, this is the context of what we're reading of Hebrew 10. See, we're saying, well, I ain't going to church. I'm going to forsake the assembly. But that's willfully. Well, I'm reading the within the context. It says, "For if it seems if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, they remain no more." And I know what Brother Brown said about that, but what I'm trying to bring over here is, I'm not saying that you are going to be lost. I'm just saying is, it's going to be your interest or it's going to be God's interest. Are we willfully going to deny, you know, not do what God asks us to do willfully? Or are we going to do what he says? So are we... I'm not saying it's this way, no. Some people decide willfully not to come to church. I'm not their judge, and I'm going to judge them about that. Because they know what the truth is. And this is what we're talking about here. What is your motive? What is your interest that we do things? The Bible says that willfully means, or at least this is what I got from the concordance, iniquity. Iniquity is knowing what to do and don't do it. Willfully. Knowing what to do and don't do it. Because that becomes sin and unbelief. Period. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, ain't iniquity abounding in these days? What happened? The love of many shall wax cold. And that's what the problem is. The forsaken, remember Ephesians, they forsake the first love, and after you do that, everything else. See? Second Titus, Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in what? In love, one towards another. And towards what? All men. So if you are increasing and abounding in love and you only love those that love you, that is not increase. Because the way you love your fellow in church, you should love someone else too. All, not few, all, good, bad or ugly person, it doesn't matter. Even as we do towards you. See? So it should be no different. Your love for me should not be different to your love for somebody else in the street. Because Jesus did not make exceptions. He is no respect of person. He only, faith is what he looks at. Seeing ye have purified, 1 Peter 1:22, since that you have purified your soul and obeying the truth to the Spirit in the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So it should be no interest for me in loving you. I should have no agendas. See? My motive should be right, always. And the same thing for all men. John 15:1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Now, I'm bringing this one because if something is wrong and every branch in me that bear not fruit, it shall be what? Taken away. And every branch that bear fruit is purged, that it might bring forth more fruit. So what are we doing here this tonight? The word of God is purging. As flowers, you know, sometimes the little leaf gets kind of yellow and it starts getting kind of brown. So what are you supposed to do? My wife goes around the house with the clippers. And any twig, anything dry, she's purging. You know, and she takes the little leaf and plug it. I mean, it's like pulling somebody's ear, okay? You come to church because you need to be purged. We need to be purged of those things that are not pleasing to God. Since you don't know what they are, it is important that we come to church. How else are you going to get, you know, purged? So as flowers, as bouquet, you know, we need attention. And the attention of him that made us. We are, Brahma says, we are a bouquet of flowers in his altar. You know, and sometimes, you know, we need a little bit of water, you know. We need a little bit of nutrition, you know. We need, where are you going to get that? Right here. This is what God instituted this. This is God's ways. This is where you're going to get fed. This is where you're going to get pruned. This is where you are going to, you know, be sometimes rubbed the wrong way. That's what Brother Doug says all the time. Uh-oh, I feel it already. You know, if you feel it already, then you must be a blessed person because God loves you. And he wants you to get rid of whatever he's talking in here that you said, oh, that's me. Church. And that's what everything starts, a church. He purchased that he may bring forward more fruit. So sometimes, you know, the word comes kind of hard. But God has you in mind. He loves you and he wants you to be fruitful. And sometimes you have to cut, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. And, you know, and help you to grow, to give more fruit. So we talked about disciples and the relationship and the connection. The fellowship is a connection, and that's where we started. The mystery, the fellowship of the mystery. So, to give you an example, before the foundation of the world, God, the angel of God asked, Job, he says, where were you when the stars, you know, when the sons of God were rejoicing? That was in his mind. Where were you when we were having all this fun? Where were you? See? And when we have harmony, when we have purpose, and when we have love, and when we have, you know, character, we should be enjoying, you know? When we come to service, do you enjoy the service? Why? Because that's what you did before and the foundation of the world. See? We had a relationship. We have a relationship with the Father from the very beginning. We had a connection. We had connection today. And that's what the Bible says over here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you don't know how God loved you, you will never love somebody else like God loves you. The measurement that you love somebody is the measurement that you understand that God loves you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did. And then the next one in John 15:14 says, you are my friend. And he did lay his life for. Remember last time I told you that I would like to hear those words that he spoke about David. This is a man after my own heart. And I said, I would like to hear Eli, you are a man after my own heart. Or I like to hear the words of Abraham. You know, Abraham is my friend. But he just told me just now, I am his friend. I wanted to hear those words. Eli, you are my friend. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. So the question is, how many wants to be a friend of God? Do you want to be a friend of God? Then you have to do whatsoever command you. A good friend, do that. You know? Some of you got some good BFFI, whatever you call those guys, you know, best friends. You know, if your best friend will give your life for you, oh, that's the end. You know, wow, right. Would you give your life for your best friend? I mean, you call friend. But see, he was our friend. So, again, the conclusion of all things is this. It is not sufficient to love one another. But we need to love everybody. In the same way you love one another, you gotta love all men. And I know you thinking that's a hard thing to do. Well, of course, if you try to do a manufacture, it won't work. You have to let God do that in your life. We got to surrender to God completely and let God do the work that he intended to do in each one of us. Amen. So, this is it. Rice. Flowers. Bouquet of flowers. I didn't want to leave this behind because sometimes we try to define what love is, and love is more than we even imagine and we look at. See, this is all love, but are there too? There is a world that is falling apart. There's people that are being lost and that have never experienced love in their life, the love of God I'm talking about. And that is where you and I come. We are here not only to love one another, but that we show God to a lost world. We are the light of the world. And if you hide that light underneath a table or anything, you cannot help anybody. They're going to continue to be lost. They're looking for somebody to show them the way, to light up the path. Amen. So, what are we singing? Where's my... Where is Andy? Andy Seme. Vente. You guys always let me hang in here. Like I was... I'm not a singer. You guys already... Been 15, 20 years with you guys. You know me already. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. Father, and I just hope that this little broken words can do, Father, in our life what you purpose already they will do tonight, Father. Father, we want to be perfect like our Father. We want to be friends, but also we need to do thy will. Father, those that do your commandments, whatsoever you command, they are your children, they are your friends. Father, I want to do everything that you require from me, Father. I know I falter, I know I fail, but my desire, Father, is to be that you want me to be, Father. Even in our congregation where we have differences of opinions and whatever, Father, we need still to love our brothers and sisters, Father. Father, we thank you. Because you make this plan, you made this design. This is all you. You are the one that maintains, sustains. You are the one that gives life, Father. And the only life that it is eternal life. And when we came from you, Father, we do have eternal life. And that is what is important, Father, here. Nothing else matters but having your life living, pulsating in us. And that is what you wanted to do. You wanted a people. You wanted a people so you can manifest God in flesh once again. It is a tall call. Sure it is. Because Christ is our pattern. Christ is our model. And whatever he did, the bride will do also. And it's a tall call. But I'm glad that I don't have to do it and I don't have to figure it out. All I have to do is just surrender my life to you. All I have to do is just yield to you in whatever moment, situation, circumstances, and let you bring to manifestation your word through this body, Father. And that is what the whole journey is all about. God in flesh once again. How God acted, how Jesus Christ acted in God in flesh, the bride will do the same. Father, I know it is possible because you said it. You said it, and you will finish the work that you started. So, Father, all we have to do is just yield ourselves, be still, and let you finish dressing up, Father. Sometimes, just like a little child, they don't sit still long enough, so you put your socks on or dress them up. Father, we need to be still. I'll let you finish that work, Father, that you started in us. And when we see the results, and we're almost there, Father, they're going to be a people. They're going to be a people that will be you, Jesus Christ, in flesh again. They did confuse Brother Branham with Jesus Christ. He said he wasn't. But that's how close that life was. And if that was the first fruit, there's more fruit to that follows. See? Because if it's not, then it's just a one-man rapture. That what you took Brother Branham from the beginning to end and made him that, God in flesh, it has to also happen to us, Father. It was the first fruit, and we are the fruit that coming right behind it. Father, and I know that times are close, and we need to just get ourselves in some kind of a position, Father, that you can help us, Father. We need to get in a desperation, Father, and you can create that desperation, because regardless of, in spite of us, you will have a bride, and you will have a bride that it will be God in flesh once again, and that is top. That's what we're looking for, Father. So we surrender ourselves to you. Father, help us to continue this journey. Father, not only just coming to church and listening to a good sermon, but we want that sermon to become flesh. This word must become flesh. And how I know it become flesh? I will be a perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus was perfect. Oh, it's impossible. It's not impossible. He said it. He will do it. He will perform that he spoke about us and you and me. He will do it. There's nothing impossible for God. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we appreciate these times that we are together. We appreciate the times where we can still talk about you, praise you, worship you. Father, we don't want to take these times, you know, like something light. We don't want to take it like a common thing. Father, every time we get together, every time, it should be a new revelation. Those angels in heaven, they over there, they say, holy, holy, holy. And every time they say holy, it's a new revelation. And they've been saying holy from 7,000 years right now. And that's all they've been saying, holy, holy, holy. Father, and this is the same thing with us, Father. We can come to church for so many years, but every time we come, it should be a new revelation. You know, it should not be old and stale and boring. The next time church open, it's a new revelation. It's a new, and slowly, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, we are going to be changed. And this is your plan. This is how you made it, Father. So every time I come to church, it's just like I've never been in church before. Another opportunity and privilege to worship you and to sing holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Father, we thank you for this congregation. Thank you for our pastor. And we continue touching his body, Father, and give him health and quicken his body. And so he can be soon with us, Father, again. We love each one in this congregation. We love the ministers, the deacons, Father. Those that work, Father, like I said last Wednesday, we should not devalue those that care for us in this congregation. Those that put their life to help us, Father. The Sunday school, the teachers, Father, to teach the young ones. The deacons, Father, the trustees, Father. The pastor, Father, we should not devalue those that care for us, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you brought us together for that reason. So we can take care of each other and grow, Father. And grow to the stature of a perfect man. Father, thank you. And we ask you all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Yeah, that's it.